It's time for the Taking Notes Podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 70 of the Taking Notes Podcast for Wednesday, November 14th, 2007. I am Bruce Elgort, here with
Julian Robichaud.
And today we had the pleasure of interviewing Sandra Marcus, who is better known as the Queen of Lotusphere. Julian, couple
yes.
things. Before we talk about our interview with Sandra, how have you been, my friend?
Oh, man, I've been good. How long has it been since we podcasted?
A couple weeks. I think the 23rd of October.
Right, but we skipped our two-year anniversary.
Yeah, it's okay.
Gosh.
Happy two-year anniversary, my friend.
Sorry I didn't send you flowers, Bruce.
That's okay. I'll see you on Friday maybe, right?
And
we'll celebrate. So, yeah, we're gonna hook up on Friday and pop open a bottle of wine or champagne or something. But forget about us. Let's talk about Sandra. What'd you think of the interview?
I thought it was really good, and there's a lot of information about some of the changes that are happening with Lotusphere, all good. Some of them might be a little subtle if you didn't know about them, but all good stuff. And you know, one thing that we didn't really get to talk a lot about in the interview, but it's obvious, but it should be stated anyway, is that there are so many people that work on Lotusphere. And, you know, we and everyone else, it seems like, really singles out Sandra as you know, Queen of Lotusphere and act like she's doing the whole thing. And obviously she's not. But that whole team of people does such a good job with Lotusphere every year.
I totally agree. Best industry event I go to. Out of all the ones I go to, it's superb, man.
So, yes, and most interesting thing coming up in the podcast as a little teaser, Lotus Salon. So I think they're going to be given hairdos or something, right?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe I wouldn't know about hairdos myself, but
listen for it. I can't remember exactly. You'll have to listen for it in the podcast. There's a Lotus Salon, though, huh?
Mm-hmm. A couple other things too. So listen. Hard. It's I think it's about 30-something minutes or
yep.
40 minutes. So listen up, and we'll talk to you guys real soon.
Enjoy. Okay, today we are here with, well, virtually here, with Sandra Marcus, the Queen of Lotusphere. Sandra, how are you doing?
I am great. I'm great at 67 days out and counting.
and we understand that you're in the middle of enjoying your Starbucks right now.
Yeah, I have my iced grande non-fat latte and excited to talk about Lotusphere 2008, the 15th annual Lotusphere. And I've been to every single one. And this one's going to be bigger and better than all the rest.
Bigger and better?
Bigger yeah. and better, I say,
right,
with
so
I say with confidence.
We believe you. Well, now, attendance has gone up a lot over the last couple of years, right?
It has. I don't know. We're probably in the 7-8% increase each year for the last couple, and expecting that, maybe slightly better than that this year. And all the plans that we're putting in place, more about our infrastructure than anything else, are being put in place to support a group of 7,500 to 8,000 people. So all indicators are up, and the infrastructure and our work with the hotels is all being put in place to make that as comfortable for everybody as we possibly can make it.
Wow. Now, I know that a lot of people have talked about sold-out hotels already and moving to the Yaden Beach, and, you know, there's some sessions over there. And I guess there's something about maybe some people splitting up into two groups for the opening session. Is that what's going on?
So that's fact. Last year, we felt like we reached the thresholds of comfort for the opening general session, and made a decision at the end of last year that we would go back to that two opening general session model that we used. Well, I guess the last time we used it was January of 2001. And so that takes a little bit more planning to think through how do we do that? What else can we do that's interesting, that's running simultaneously? And then all of that, thinking about how do you spread everybody out across three hotels. And fortunately, we've got the experience of, you know, having done it for quite a few years ago. So I look forward, and I'll talk a little bit more about the two sessions and what will happen simultaneously, but I look forward to getting back to that true campus setting of activity at the Yacht and Beach Club, activity at the Swan, and then, of course, activity at the Dolphin.
All right, so you mentioned, Sandra, that there's going to be two opening general sessions. So when, say, Julian is in the first session, what is Bruce going to be able to do, you know, waiting around?
Well, we're going to have some fun with this. So exactly, we'll divide the entire attendee base into two, and the way I like to think about it is either the yellow badge people and the white badge people or something similar to that. So what you would do while the opening session is going on is take part in something brand new to Lotus Beer that we're calling the Lotus Salon 2.08. And like Jam Fest and like Beat Geeking, and I'm thinking of a couple of other fixtures, Guru Palooza and Ask the Developers, all of our indicators say that this is going to become yet another one of those fixtures that people look forward to year in and year out. So you're probably thinking, Lotus Salon, okay, so the name's catchy. I get the, you know, not so much the play on words, but the new compound word that we've invented. If you think about the salons of Paris during the 18th century and think about their purpose of bringing the best and the brightest minds together in one big room to talk with each other and to learn from each other, that's exactly what we're interested in doing, with a common thread being the Web 2.0, and in particular how the Web 2.0 or the new web and collaborative technology, what sort of impact is it having on how we have fun and on the creative process. So we did a little bit of research, a little bit more research about the salons, again, of the 18th century, and looked at some of the very significant deliverables, or I guess, you know, you can't talk to an IBMer without hearing the word deliverable. So the significant deliverables that stem directly from that period in history, one was the Declaration of Independence, the Industrial Revolution, comic strips, and a funny one, plunging necklines. They all emerged from the dialogue and the collaboration that took place in the salons of the 18th century, mostly, I guess, in Paris. So we're excited to see what ours does. What is this 21st century salon happening at Lotus Beer? What will come out of that? So what we'll do is we'll have it's not quite a moderated panel, but just for purposes of illustration, we'll think about the format of a panel. And we have three very interesting people, and I'll tell you who they are in just a second, and a strong moderator who will invite each one of them to talk to us about their work in the Web 2.0 world, just to lay out a little bit of a platform about who they are and what their focus and their interest is in. And then he will ask some questions. He will take live questions from our audience, and we're working right now, and probably another 10 days out before we've got the vehicle to do this, we're looking for folks to submit, whether it's a real word or not, we'll call them digidios, so little, obviously, digital videos with questions that they want to ask to these three people. So I want to tell you who these folks are. But before I do that, so we want to talk about or hear from them about the Web 2.0 world and their work and the impact of the web on creativity and fun and play. And so the title of the salon for Lotus Beer 2008 is The Golden Age of the Geeks, and how geek gods and goddesses of mythic proportions really are running the world these days, right? Everybody who probably wasn't so cool back in junior high, right? We are all it today, and we want to hear from a couple of these more famous it people. So we've got three folks, one named Z. Frank, one named Golan Levin, and the last one is Jane McGonigal, and I'll tell you a little snippet about each, and then I'll tell you who's going to moderate the salon. So give me a split sec. So Z. Frank is known as a humorist and a web artist. Probably the most, maybe not the most significant piece of work he's done, but certainly the one that's received a lot of attention from a lot of people, was a viral video he produced a couple of years back called How to Dance Properly. So we'll invite him to join us and hear a little bit more about his work and the web and fun and creativity. The next person is a fellow named Golan Levin, and he refers to himself as an experimental audiovisual artist. So that's pretty self-explanatory. His core training is as a software engineer, so right away I think our audience will have great affinity toward him. One piece that he's known for was something called Dial Tones, a telesymphony, and it was choreographed ringtones. Working with a live group of people, so choreographing ringtones from a live group, a live audience. And then the last person, again, our audience probably knows of her, a woman named Jane McGonigal, and she's a game designer, famous for her work with a company called 42 Entertainment. She's also a researcher at UC Berkeley and has done a bunch of different very famous pieces, one in particular called I Love Bees. I think one of the things about Jane that makes her even more interesting, again, for our audience who cares about collaboration, is she looks at gaming, specifically at the systems and the interfaces used in gaming for things that require massive collaboration. So they're focused on play, but clearly there's some extrapolation to the real world and challenges, problems, things that require solutions in the real world. So all three of those people, and then the fellow who we've invited to come moderate and then do the interface back and forth with our Lotusphere rights or whatever we call ourselves, is a guy named Daniel Seberg, probably known either for his affiliation with CNN or maybe more recently CBS News as the science and technology correspondent. So that is what you'd be doing, is listening and asking some questions and hopefully entering into some interesting dialogue for part of the morning when you're not in the opening session, where you'll hear much more specific stuff about IBM and Lotus Software. And now wow. I'm going to take a breath.
Wow.
Okay, so as far as the whole salon concept goes, now you know, like you were saying, very non-Lotus, very, you know, kind of Web 2.0 or, you know, kind of current things that are going on with social media and things like that. Now, what's your goal there? Are you looking just to provide some discussion points, just allow people to have some fun, or are you just going to be letting the inmates run the asylum there for half an hour?
I hope that the inmates won't be running the asylum, but I think it's the first two things that you suggested. It's have a little bit of fun and let's provoke people into some kind of an interesting conversation. Just get folks to think about something maybe differently than they thought about it before they participated in the session. And you hit on the most important point of all, which I sort of inferred, but I didn't actually state it. This has nothing, not even little, it has nothing to, well, that's not quite the right way to say it. We don't have any IBM objective in this. This is just the web is a new place. We have a very high caliber, intellectual, interesting attendee base / audience to begin with. I think the general person there, while they come with a laundry list of specific things to learn about the IBM Lotus Software product portfolio, they also just like to engage with their colleagues. And I think the four people that we're going to create an audience with are just like our Lotusphere attendees. It's just four more colleagues. These people happen to have done something interesting, but so have lots of other folks in the room. So we want them to talk, learn, think differently, and have a little bit of fun. Exactly that. Everything short of the inmates running the asylum.
Right. So probably no open bar.
Not in the morning. Not in the morning. But we've got some other social things up the sleeve. Things planned up the sleeve.
So Sandra, can you tell us a little bit more about some other new things that will be happening at Lotusphere 2008?
I can. I'm happy to talk about what's going on. So anybody who's read any interview that I've done or Kristen Keene's done, I'd say in the last decade, well, I don't know that we've done a podcast before, so probably it would be a print interview. We spend a lot of time, or we reinforce over and over again, that there are certain things about Lotusphere that work. There are certain things about Lotusphere that folks have an expectation will be there. There's this infrastructure, and not infrastructure to support 7,500 or 8,000 people moving around, but a core agenda that people come to expect. And so there's certain things that we would never mess with. And a couple of them are JamFest, and I'm going to go back and talk about each one of these, SpeakGeeking, voting on the Birds of a Feather sessions, GuruPalooza, and Ask the Developers. And I like to think about this, anybody who has their own kitchen, when you're cooking, you know when you need to reach for something, where to reach, right? Your muscle memory just makes it so. And these things being at Lotusphere on certain days and certain places, for the most part, at certain times, I think give people that comfortable or that comfort like muscle memory. So Monday evening, other than all of our normal sessions and labs and hands-on sessions and the Birds of a Feather, and product showcase reception, Monday evening we'll have JamFest again, and I'm going to come back to that in a split sec. Wednesday at the end of the day we'll do SpeedGeeking again, and then Thursday starting at midday we'll go to, after sessions, go to GuruPalooza and then Ask the Developers, and then of course the closing session. So the one thing about a few of these, JamFest and SpeedGeeking in particular, the one thing that will change a little bit, and I'm jokingly calling it JamFest 2.0, is the location. So we decided it's a fixture, it has traction, no question about it. We're upgrading the venue. So this year, instead of in the tent, we'll do the JamFest over at the Atlantic Dance Hall.
Oh, that's cool.
I think that's going to be fun. And then SpeedGeeking, instead of doing that over at the Yacht Club, we're going to move it upstairs in the Dolphin into the Hemisphere Ballroom foyer, just that big area outside of the ballroom. And then GuruPalooza and Ask the Developers will be business as usual. I feel like there was one other thing I was going to tell you guys about that. Well, that's what happens when you've been doing this for so long, right? You get old and you forget. But they'll be back, and you know, as best as we can, we will deliver fun and some good networking all at the same time.
Now you mentioned the tent and some of the outdoor things. I think one of the things that's changing this year is the way the lunches work. Is that right?
Yeah, so that's another big change, and hopefully one that folks are going to embrace and be thrilled about. So when you think about all the people over Sunday to Thursday, and you're going to sessions and meals and hotels and transportation and Birds of a Feather and some special invite-only things, just meetings, product showcase, just the number of moving parts, it's mind-blowing. The one place where no matter what we did or what we do, well, did, past tense, that we just couldn't make as many of the people happy all of the time as we liked, had to do with dining and being assigned to a dining location. And I know it doesn't always seem that way, but we really do strive to make all of the people happy all of the time. So this year, we'll build a tent just off the back side of the Pacific Hall and just kind of call the whole thing the Pacific Dining Tent Pavilion, whatever word you want to pick. And everybody will eat in one place. And the only direction, if you will, that somebody might experience is as they head down for breakfast or for lunch, if the formal part of Pacific Hall is full, they'll be directed to the tent part. But if you showed up with six colleagues, no one of the seven of you would be separated from the others. So you'll all eat pretty much wherever you want together. Same food, same kind of buffet line, same as I've read on people's blogs, same sort of odd, mysterious desserts that we seem to serve each year. But no more. You can't eat here. Your badge says you need to go to the other dining facility. I think it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a simple. Why didn't we do that before? Initiative, but we're doing it for this year.
Food is important, Sandra.
Yeah.
Food is important?
Yes.
I agree with you. I think there's two things, and strangely enough, they probably fall in this order. Don't deny me my food or water.
And coffee,
right? And help me get to see each of the sessions that I want to see, ideally when I want to see them. So the overflow session plan is back again, or I shouldn't call it a plan, the overflow provision is back again. And if that doesn't work, at least repeat the session that I wanted to see. And so obviously we'll build into the schedule for planned repeats and some on-the-fly repeats. But I do think those two things, as simple as they sound, feed me, or don't deny me access to food and water and coffee, right, maybe beer and wine, create an environment for me where I can go to the session that I want to go to, ideally when I want to go, and second to that, at least let me get there, even if it's not when I wanted to see it. And those are really important to us as we think about the infrastructure, is how can you make as many, if not all of the people, happy all of the time.
You know, go ahead.
Back to coffee for a second.
I know where this is coming. I know where this is going.
I don't know where you're going, so I can't wait
to
hear this.
How much extra would it cost just to leave the coffee out all morning? Is that a huge change? And I only say that because there have been a few times when I've had the Disney people literally just whip the coffee out from under me.
Yeah, probably because they're only following the instructions that we've given them.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what the answer to that is.
Okay.
But and no promises, but I can certainly do a little checking. Even if it's limited in volume, right, just for the diehards.
Mm-hmm. The diehards.
You know what? You made me think of something, though, about food, which is not exactly coffee.
It's important.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Sandra, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. No, I was just going to say, and this is kind of one place where the whole intersection of create an environment where I can get my breakfast or, more importantly, my lunch when I want it and without being told I've got to walk, you know, halfway across the country to get it. So the intersection of that with we're at three hotels and we will have sessions at three hotels. So one thing that we'll add to the, and I'm going to call it, coin the phrase right here, the Pacific Dining Pavilion, is, I don't know, like a fast pass lane, or I guess that we have fast pass in the Northeast. It's the, you know, kind of RFID thing to pay your toll as you zip through the toll on the turnpike. So or maybe you could say it's the express lane in the grocery store. So we're going to designate one of the buffet lines as the express line, and there'll be those styrofoam to-go containers, and plastic silverware, so you can zip through the line if you want to grab your lunch because you're going to hightail it over to another one of the buildings. We will build the lunch periods a little bit longer this year than we have in the past to accommodate that, but add to it a way for people to be able to just fly through and take something to go. So that's also a new, under the sort of category of new and improved as it relates to food.
That'll be nice because I know the days when we've had the box lunches, that's been really handy just to grab a box lunch and go. So that's, thank you. That's a nice idea.
I like it.
Sure. And so Thursday will still be box lunch. So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday will be hot buffet, but we'll have the express lane or line.
If you go and read Julian's blog from about a couple of years ago, he had this rant about coffee and the Disney bot, so... We won't go there. So we'll put a link to it in the show notes.
That was as much a Disney thing as anything.
Yeah, exactly.
But the other thing you mentioned, so you mentioned access to food and coffee and access to tracks too and the sessions and things like that. Now, I just got an email today for voting on sessions and birds of a feather and things like that. So anything new with tracks and sessions and things like that?
Well, I'd say other than the content itself, no, nothing new. The containers, the way we've created them, the tracks work. Just a little bit of a lay of the land. Most of the rooms that we build out at the Yacht and Beach Club will be used for our hands-on sessions. And the thought being the sessions last a little bit longer, sort of the whole environment there. We want to make it a little bit more like Lotusphere University. Our certification prep and certification testing lab will be over there. And then there'll be a couple of regular breakout session rooms also with an overflow. But the tracks themselves remain consistent. We'll do the big breakout sessions upstairs in the Dolphin, some other large and kind of medium-sized rooms at the Swan with a couple of overflow rooms, and then repeating, but most of the hands-on, more classroom-like, university-like content will be at the Yacht and Beach Club. So the whole session preference email that you would have received, or lots of people, actually everybody who's registered to date would have received today or during the overnight, they help us evaluate not so much for the sessions what to have, but the load balancing and the demand, and that's proven pretty effective for the last couple of years, right, getting the gauge from our audience. For the birds of a feather, it's a true vote on what the most interesting topics are to get together and talk about. So that all feels to me like business as usual, but in a positive, it works way. So I do have one. It's not so much a change. It's sort of a growth of something we started last year. Last year, in the midst of the breakout sessions, we did a couple of keynotes or mini main tents. I think the phrases are almost interchangeable. And those were effective. They were about two topics that were new, riddled with announcements last year, unified communications and social software. And this year we'll do three of those. Again, we'll do one on unified communications. We'll do another one on social software. And then we'll do a third one focused on the application development. So that's something to look forward to. They'll be set in the mornings. And I like to think of it as a breakout session on steroids. It won't quite be the opening session, but a little bit more than a normal breakout session.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I think we all talk about, the first couple days, some of us get there on Friday or Saturday at Lotusphere, is who will be the speaker at the opening general session? Come on, Sandra, let it out.
You know me better than that. You know I would never, ever share. I think right now there's one, two, three people, including myself internally, who are part of that little tidbit of knowledge. So that's another one of those Lotusphere traditions, like Jamfest and speed geeking. We've got to keep that a secret.
You can at least tell us where the Wednesday night party is going to be.
I'm thinking about that.
Oh, okay.
Oh gosh,
so we gotta throw you softballs then, don't we?
The choices are fairly limited.
Right, that's true. We've know where we've been the last couple
and,
of years,
and we're going somewhere we've been before. Maybe we'll play 20. Maybe we'll play 20 questions over the next couple of weeks.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, now I've always been curious. The whole planning process for Lotusphere is that truly like just a 12-month constant planning? Do you get any breaks in between?
A little bit. I'd say it's in earnest. It's probably 10 months out of the year. So February spent wrapping up and cleaning up, and then March and April are a little bit quiet. That's when we do all the fun brainstorming, but you don't have to actually put any plans in place. And then by May, the team's assembled again, the team's assembled again, and we really get going. And besides the spending a good 10 months out of the year, for me, the thing that's even more interesting about that are the number of people who work on the project who've been working on it for seriously a decade. That's what makes that. So lots of people look at this and think, oh my gosh, how on earth could you do that and do it year in and year out? And for me, when I look at the 5 or 6 or 7 people that I work with over and over and over again, some IBMers and some externals, they're so consistent. And I think that's where all the value, I hope, actually, that's where our attendees feel a lot of the value, is that we can't fix every single little wrinkle or smooth every single wrinkle each year, but we really try hard to smooth out as many of them as we can. And it comes from this familiarity and investment that the team has in the quality of what we deliver. So that's the part for me. Forget about the 10 months out of the year. The part that just feels good, mm-hmm, is the small core group of people just truly caring about it. Someone on a blog, and it's probably a blog that many of your readers read, talked about a little incident last year and how it was handled and the aftermath, and everything worked out just fine. It was someone had a health issue, and the blogger wrote something about that's just the Lotusphere way, and it was really interesting. It struck a chord with me going back and looking at it many, many months later, not last January or February, but recently. I thought, one, that's a real compliment, but two, yeah, I guess that says something about all of us as a community that, yeah, we work hard to plan a good event, and we appreciate all of the folks who contribute their content and who come and sponsor an exhibit, and all of our partners who, like what you're doing, help make sure everybody understands the value of the conference and what it will do for your business. But all together as a community, it's there really is a Lotusphere way about the gentlemanly, and I mean that in a unisex way, of how you get 75 or 800 or 8,000 people to be able to move around in all things considered, with relative ease over the course of 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, okay, so real quick, for people that haven't signed up yet, how long do they have to get the latest round of pricing? When is that going to go away?
That's not going to go away until mid-January.
Okay.
So from right now until, this is off the top of my head, it's either the 16th or the 17th of January, but hopefully you're going to make your mind up next week and get signed
up. Go.
But mid-January, the price goes up one more time, and obviously we encourage people to get registered. Sooner is better. It helps us with all of our materials planning. But it's $20.95 now. And that's all 5 days, no special add-on prices for Sundays, jump starts, or business development day. Mm. No extra charge for hands-on sessions. And then all these great meals that we're talking about are breakfast and lunch Sunday through Thursday, plus the welcome reception and the product showcase reception and the big old party Wednesday night. It's all included. Mm-hmm. And it's just important. I know I sound like I'm going to try to sell somebody a set of kitchen knives, but it's important to point it out because not every conference works that way. And once you're into it, whatever it is you want to do, you can do it.
You know, Sandra, I attend a lot of industry events around the country, and by far, Lotusphere is the best out of all of them. I was just at one in September, you know, for a large, you know, IT, well, tech company, and, you know, there were 7,000 or 8,000 or 9,000 people there, but it was nowhere near the quality of Lotusphere. So congratulations.
Thanks for saying that. We know it's not inexpensive, but we really do feel like the value is very, very, very high. And if you, you know, go so far as to compare to other places where you could invest money to learn, be it about, you know, IBM or Lotus Software specifically or just other technology, if you really do get down to examine it about how many sessions and how many meals and are the speakers good and can I get into the rooms I want to get into, et cetera, we feel pretty good. And as I said, we really enjoy the whole big Lotusphere community aspect that comes out of it. Well, going on 15 years, right? It says something about all of us.
Exactly. All right, Julian. Wow, we spent a lot of time with Sandra today. Is there anything else, Sandra, that you'd like to say to the listening audience?
I would just say for everybody who's already registered or signed up as a sponsor or an exhibitor or any of the members of our press community or analyst community who are coming, thank you. And anybody else who's thinking about it, we encourage you. You don't want to miss it. And I almost want to say, and if you have questions, you could send me an email. I'll do my very best to try and answer it. And I guess the only thing I won't do is tell you my email address. So then only the people who really want to ask will figure it out.
LotusphereQueen@IBM.com.
That's not a bad idea. So actually, you know what? I want to say one thing about that title, which doesn't bother me. I think it's really fun and adorable. But everybody who listens to this knows already, but it's important to say. So I get to be the figurehead, and that's always wonderful when things go well. And I also have to be not the figurehead, but the throat to choke when there's problems. But it does take a small group of people who bend over backwards. That's the same old 10 months or same 10 months of the year that I was talking about earlier, who really make it happen. So I just get to have the fun of standing up in front when it's terrific and the not so much fun when things are problematic.
Well, that's just kind of how things go. That's part of just being any kind of manager, I guess.
And you get to wear that cool headset, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. I love the headset.
Yeah. You look like I do right now, actually, and probably Jillian, too. So.
Of course. Hey, I had one more follow-up, too, as far as the product showcase. Do you know if the showcase floor has sold out yet or if any vendors who are listening could still get on the floor?
I can answer that very specifically. So it's not sold out, but we're not too far away. There are two vision-level sponsorship slots left, so those are big investment. I will acknowledge they're in the $70,000 to $75,000 range, only two. All the other sponsorship slots are sold. And then for exhibitors, there are about 30, might be 32. Anyway, we'll just say around 30 spots still available. So we're headed towards selling out. Nothing causes me to think it won't happen. So for anybody out there, right, who's still thinking about it, act soon, partially because I want you to sign up, but more important for you so that you don't miss any of the opportunity to get in on the deliverables like print stuff and web stuff, et cetera, et cetera.
That's a great question there, Mr. Robichaux.
Oh, well, thank you, Bruce.
All right, I think we're done. Sandra, you know, it's an honor, first of all, to have you on the podcast, and I believe this is your first podcast, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so
woohoo.
Thank you, and thank you to the team over at Lotus who helped us get you on the show here. Thanks again. Now we have to return the favor here that we pledged. So, no, it's been great. It's been fun. And we look forward to seeing you in January. And thanks again.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys. And Erica, thanks for helping us get it all organized.
Yeah, Erica's in the background. Say hi, Erica.
Hi, everyone.
So Erica's been the person behind the curtain, just being like Sandra's, I'm not going to say coach. No, we'll cut all this out. Don't worry.
Yeah, person. It's okay. Right, she's my handler of the day.
All right,
I'm the publicist.
We won't
my
cut
publicist.
It out.
Publicist is much better sounding than handler.
Okay. Erica Topolsky, Sandra's publicist. No, that's it. That's it for episode 70 of the Taking Notes podcast. We'll catch you guys soon with another exciting interview that Erica will help us set up. Right, Erica?
Absolutely.
All right.
Oh, yeah.